Radio Hour with your host,
Big Mac David McKelvin,
and myself, Ryan White. With us today, Mike Bosworth. Mike Bosworth Leadership. His website, MikeBosworthLeadership.com. He was the co-founder of Story Leaders in 2008. And in 2013, he founded Mike Bosworth Leadership. He provides executive coaching and workshops with the Story Seekers platform. And really, Story Seekers is a way that uses people learn how to use the power of story to connect and build trust with their clients. Also an author. Three books and maybe a fourth in you, you said.
A fourth in me, yeah.
What Great Salespeople Do, Solution Selling, and Customer-Centric Selling. We've got What Great Salespeople Do right here in front of us. And a fourth one, perhaps yet unnamed, to come?
Well, the functional name would be 40 Years of Sales Lessons. But that's a snooze. I mean, but that's functionally what the new book will be.
Well, strangely enough, that's kind of going to be our topic today,
yeah.
Sales lessons learned.
Let's
hope we can make it not a snooze.
Right, yeah.
Also, although not here yet, she will be here shortly, Jacqueline Isaac, estate planning attorney. Her website is jacquelineisaac.com. Focuses on estate plans that cover living trusts, asset protection, special needs, elder law, and health care. Has been featured on NBC, KUSI, Fox, and other television programs, as of course, additionally, this radio show a couple times before. She will talk to us about the five major myths and misconceptions about trust, and really the big deal, is a will enough to protect you from going through probate? Probate is quite arduous and expensive, so Jacqueline will touch on those when she gets here shortly. So I made the mistake of posting on Facebook, leading with authority. And you very quickly corrected me.
I did.
Your topic is leading without authority, which is a little bit counterintuitive. Why don't you explain what that means?
Well, it's interesting because in the sales profession, the people who get promoted into management leadership spots are the people who sell the most.
Okay. Makes sense.
And in most companies now, I mean, according to a study in 2008 in B2B sales forces in America, this is very disturbing, but 13% of the salespeople are bringing in 87% of the revenue.
So no more 80-20.
It's
13-87.
Worse. It's gotten worse.
Well, good for you. I mean, that's your job security, I suppose.
Oh, but when I started my business in 1983, solution selling, my mission was to help the bottom 80%.
Got it.
So it was pretty painful for me in 2008 to learn that after, you know, 32 years of trying to help the bottom 80%, it's worse. It's it's 87, 13.
Did you say it's impossible to help them? I mean, you know, there's at some point you just got to figure you can lead a horse to water, but maybe they won't actually take action. That's probably just inherently how they are.
Well, you know, a lot of rationalization has gone on over the years about the bottom 80% or 87%, whatever you want to call them. And in my years of doing sales competency training, where I was trying to teach salespeople to be better at diagnosing the customer's needs around the bias of the product and better in creating visions and better at negotiating and better at writing proposals and better at writing letters and better at cold calling and better at negotiating. All that work, what happened is the top 20% became the top 13%. The best got better, but the worst got worse. And this isn't just Mike Bosworth's problem. It's the whole sales productivity industry over the past 30-some years. And, I mean, there's dozens of companies selling sales training like Miller Hyman and Powerbase and Customer-Centric Selling and Sandler Selling and Wilson Learning and the Complex Sale. There's dozens and dozens of them. And there's companies trying to automate that whole process like Salesforce.com.
Sure.
Well, speaking of which, right, how long have you been doing this, Mike?
I'm old. I went into sales in 1976, and I went into my own business of sales training business in 1983. And so, you know, pretty much since 1976 is when Xerox asked me to start doing sales training internally for my
business. Okay, so 1976.
I've been training salespeople since 1976.
Okay, so I don't know exactly when the internet was something that came available to everybody, but at the same time, you have been sales training people during a time when there's been tremendous change.
Yes.
In fact, there's a lot of change happening right now, and there are plenty of ways to start spending marketing money for a company to grow, but some of these new changes, you know, that are touted to be the change could possibly be social media. Where is this all playing a role in today's sales force?
Well, it's a great question. I was telling Ryan when we were having coffee recently that back when I was a rookie salesperson at 28 years old for Xerox Computer Services, and I was selling first-generation manufacturing productivity systems, the Xerox name was so powerful that we, back then, cold calling meant walking into the lobby, not making a cold phone call. So we'd go into an industrial park and we'd smokestack and we'd walk into a building and say, hi, we're from Xerox. We'd like to talk to your materials manager. And back then, the Xerox name had such a halo that 90% of the time, this materials manager would come out to the lobby because somebody from Xerox wants to talk to him.
Well, I mean, if I walked into Qualcomm today and said, you know, hey, I'm here with Google, they might say the same thing.
They might with Google, but what percentage of the salespeople out there trying to sell to Qualcomm have the name Google?
Pretty small percentage.
But at the same time, it's the same thing as the Xerox example, right? I mean, there are examples of powerful companies, but...
But there was more to it than that, because back then, pre-internet, the only way these guys in manufacturing companies could learn about new technology was to see the guy from Xerox or see the guy from IBM or see the guy from Hewlett-Packard or see the guy from DEC, because they couldn't go learn on their own. And so there was motivation besides the company halo to see the salesperson because they could learn about new technology. Today, they can learn all they need to know about whatever technology you're selling and who else has used it and how the main companies are ranked on the internet before they ever meet the salesperson. So today, when the salesman first meets the buyer's much further through their buy cycle.
I get that.
Right?
I get that. Even when I was a rookie engineer working here in the Cellular Valley, I'd have people come by and say that, you know, I get a call from the secretary, blah, 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 from such that company wants to meet with you. And we just never went. We just always said we were busy.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That
there was no enticement.
No enticement.
No enticement. Mm-hmm. And they had – so, yeah, the big company Halo helps. But the real enticement was we need to find out what's going on in technology, productivity improvement, so we can stay ahead of our competition. And the only way we can learn that is to see salesmen.
So today's consumer is obviously doing a lot of research online, and they're, in a sense, pre-selling themselves. And when they show up to buy the product, it's almost like, okay, I got it. I already done my research. Just here's the price I'm willing to pay. The product that I'm here to buy, evidently you're selling. Let's just do the deal, and I'm on with my life. Is that what's happening, or is it?
Well, it depends. The more the product or service is perceived to be a commodity. Okay, so for instance, if I want to buy a BMW, that's a commodity. Because if I don't like you, if I go to your dealership and I don't like your vibe as a salesman, I can drive 7 miles away to another BMW dealership.
Or maybe even buy it online.
Or buy it online, go through Auto Club, and never have to even put up with a salesperson, right? So in those cases, it's highly critical today that those salespeople connect very quickly at an emotional level. In other words, they have to have a fast speed of trust because they have one short at-bat.
A fast speed to get the consumer to trust them.
To feel comfortable, to open up and trust. And most people don't trust salespeople in general. I mean, even you guys, if you go into a retail store, you go into Best Buy because you know you want to buy something, the salesperson comes up to you and says, hey, can I help you? What do you say?
Heck no.
Just looking. No, I'm okay. Just looking. I'm good.
Sure.
You know, go put pressure on somebody else.
Right? Sure. Then when you're ready to make that buying decision, you just grab the closest salesperson to you.
Right. And then it's just a matter of, I mean, there is no need for a connection there because you're buying a name brand, a Samsung, and you're buying it at the lowest price. And you probably did the price research even before you went out there. And it's just a matter of you wanted to go to the closest place that you could buy it. So those people, they have a really tough sales job if their mission is to upsell you and get you to buy something that you didn't think you needed before you came in. Most retail salespeople these days in those types of stores don't have that capability. They aren't even trained to upsell, to expand the need, to say, hey, have you ever thought about if you added one of these little doohickeys to, you could also do this with this product? I don't hear any of that when I go into Best Buy.
Well, clearly you're going to share with us how to overcome some of these obstacles, such as connecting with the consumer in that microsecond that you've got. But before we get to that, do you think that the fact that the consumer is changing is the reason it went from 80-20 to what, 83-17?
87-13, actually. No, I don't. Because I had a clue for 30 years from my clients about that, and I ignored the clue. And the majority of vice presidents of sales who hired Mike Bosworth over the years to come in and train their salespeople, the majority of those guys, and women too, were former top 13% salespeople. And the whole reason they're the VP of sales now is they were able to sell so much more than anybody else. They got promoted.
Is that wrong that that happens? I mean, we can all draw on examples of overachieving salespeople that do get recruited into upper management. And I can see how, you know, the president might say, look, you know what? You know more about this product. You know how to do this. You can train my people. We can grow. I'm going to promote you.
That's the fantasy every time a top salesperson is promoted into management. And the vast majority of the time, well over 90%, that new manager crashes and burns. I'm a witness. It happened to me. And the primary reason is that those top 13% salespeople are selling intuitively. They're good because they're doing it intuitively. And the holy grail of sales productivity improvement over the years, and this was started back in 1979 when Xerox hired a behavioral researcher named Neil Rackham, who subsequently wrote Spin Selling. Xerox realized that this 80-20 condition is killing them because each year they're taking their top performers out of the field, putting them into a management position where they crash and burn. So the reason they hired this behavioral researcher to study this problem was they finally concluded these top salespeople are just selling intuitively. They are unable to teach other people to do what they do so well.
They were perhaps leading without authority.
Well, they were actually...
Without knowing it.
What they were doing is using this newly granted authority to piss people off.
Got it.
Because when they're promoted... I mean, the whole reason that top salespeople are so good is because they are able to get people they have no authority over to change. To volunteer to change. Because when I'm a salesman and I walk into a company, they don't work for me.
Sure.
The only way I can get them to change is to get them to volunteer to change.
And that's really the key. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that when we come back, as well as hear from Jacqueline Isaac with their top five major myths and misconceptions about trust ahead of us when we come back.
The law is on your side. That's right. The laws are designed to protect consumers from being riddled with debt. They're designed that way so that you can become debt-free and get a fresh start. You should do what I did. When I had financial stress, I called William McDonald with the McDonald Legal Group. Find out how you can use the law to your advantage. Delete your debt and keep your stuff. You got credit card debt, timeshares, old IRS debt, collections, medical bills, any of this stuff can be wiped away with the Chapter 7 bankruptcy, and it only takes 100 days. Call William McDonald today. 800-997-1235. 800-997-1235. Or go online, sandiegobankruptcy.us. 800-997-1235.
This is Lisa with the McDonald Legal Group. We are a debt relief agency. We help people file for bankruptcy relief under the bankruptcy code.
Mr. Credit here for Five Star Escrow. When you need escrow services, think Five Star, the escrow provider to the friends of the Mr. Credit Show. FiveStarEscrow.com. That's FiveStarEscrow.com.
Just having an estate plan or trust in place isn't always enough to make difficult times less challenging for you and your family. Life is full of change. This is why it's so important to have your estate documents reviewed regularly. Contact my attorney, Jared Causa, with Neil Diamant Law Firm, and find out if a review of your estate plan is needed. 619-238-1712. Since life changes so quickly, make sure your estate is properly handled. 619-238-1712 for your free consultation. Just mention Mr. Credit. 619-238-1712.
Introducing DeWalt Socket Rails, available in SAE and metric sizes. DeWalt Socket Rails feature easy-to-read deep laser etch markings, and the included tilting rails help keep sockets organized, secure, and easy to access. They're the clear choice for pros and are now available in the new DeWalt Mechanics tool sets. When there's a tough job to get done, rely on a trusted name that's backed by a full lifetime warranty. Rely on DeWalt. Get yours today, only at Sears and Sears.com.
Hey, everybody, this is Coach, and I want all you tried-and-true college football fans to enter the AT&T Be the Fan Sweepstakes. Tackle my weekly challenge, and you might be the fan who wins a VIP trip to ESPN College Game Day. Find out how you can win at attbethefan.com. AT&T, rethink possible.
No purchase necessary. Open to U.S. citizens and resident aliens of the 50 U.S. states or D.C. of the age of majority. Ends 11:59 p.m. Central Time, November 29th, 2013. Official rules at attbethefan.com. Void where prohibited.
Hi, Mr. Credit here. You know, everyone wants to have a good credit score, but very few people even know how to read a credit report. Now you can get a free copy of your credit report as well as a personalized analysis of that credit report, all 100% free, by simply calling this number, 619-734-9454. That's 619-734-9454. Find out specifically what's keeping you from having perfect credit and what action is needed. You'll get access to all the same resources I've personally used to improve and maintain my own credit score. Everyone can have great credit, but it takes a little help for most of us, and we are now providing that for free. Just call 619-734-9454 today. Mention Mr. Credit, 619-734-9454. That's 619-734-9454, or email at MrCredit.org. That's MrCredit.org.
So happy it's Thursday. Welcome. ESPN 1700 AM. It's the Real Estate Radio Hour with your host,
Big Mac David McKelvin,
and myself, Ryan White. Jacqueline Isaac, state planning attorney. Her website, JacquelineIsaac.com, is here, as well as Mike Bosworth. Mike Bosworth Leadership. We just heard from him. We talked briefly about leading without authority. And actually, you had a story that you mentioned.
Recently, you were speaking. You were at a speaking engagement.
True. And I was saying, because when they told me what Jacqueline does, that I said, well, that's interesting, because she's a trust attorney. And I did a speaking engagement this past summer for Forest Lawn Mortuary. And at first, when they first called me up and said, I'm going to speak to a bunch of morticians, and I thought about them selling caskets and, you know, which color velvet you want and all that. But I really had the wrong impression. They actually call their vice president of sales the vice president of advanced planning. And what I realized is they're doing a lot more than selling the actual, you know, cremation or burial or whatever. They're motivating families to plan in advance, because when people die unexpectedly and they haven't planned it out, their heirs and families end up fighting to the point where they hate each other's guts. And if you ask somebody after you die,
it happens the time.
Yeah, if you want your family to hate each other's guts afterwards.
Yeah, we see it happening before someone actually passes away, when there's money involved, when there's real estate involved, and there's more than one child or sibling, and they start arguing over who's the trustee, who's going to be in control, who they're going to hire, how much you're going to ask for the house.
Exactly.
It can be a really, really tough situation.
Absolutely. So the trust is really the how-to, but the why is advanced planning.
Absolutely. You know what they say? I don't want to put a gloom on our weather today, but they say that two things are definite, taxes and death. And it's really true. This is something that's going to happen. And one day, when it does happen, you want to make sure that your family has a peace of mind, that they're not fighting, and that they really can carry on your legacy in a way that doesn't remind them of conflict that happened in the aftermath. And that's something that I really see in my practice. I mean, I will never forget one time I had a son of a person who passed away come into my office and try to convince me that he was the only son.
Really?
It was unbelievable.
Really?
Unbelievable. I will never forget it. He didn't think that
what,
I
the other
knew.
Son didn't matter?
Well, what happened was is that the other son was born out of wedlock long time ago. And
tisk,
what
tisk.
He, unbelievable. Unbelievable, though, how people act. He came in trying to get greedy, hoping that that trust only provided for him. But what he didn't know is his father was a client of mine, and he had come in and he had provided for every single son, whether before wedlock or out of, they all got equal shares, and he was trying to hide it. And this is what really arises after death. The truth comes out and you see the conflict. And if you did not provide for the situation beforehand, you'll see conflict arise. And you see it all the time. So what do? You create that living trust. And in that living trust, when you talk to the attorney, explain what's going on. An attorney doesn't just act as an attorney, but also as a psychologist at times, because we try to help, you know, counsel our clients through any situation that arises. If I have a client that comes in and says, well, you know what, I love my children equally, but they just don't get along, and I want to be fair to them, what do I do? At that time, we go through their circumstances, their family circumstances, who's around them that can give wisdom to those children. We even provide a provision that says, okay, if you want both your children as trustees and you know that they do not get along, we can put a third provision in there that says that a special trustee can come in to break the deadlock on decisions where they can't make up their mind.
You mean like a fiduciary?
A referee trustee.
Correct. A referee trustee. Exactly. Perfectly put. You know, if we get along, there's no problem. If we decide to sell the house that's in that trust together, that's fine.
Yeah.
But if one wants to sell and the other one wants to rent it out, what do we do?
A tiebreaker.
A tiebreaker. So you pick that third person that you trust, you know, that you feel has wisdom, the aunt, you know, the sibling that you trust that says,
right,
okay,
well,
I'll come in.
I thought when you have a fiduciary or when you have a trustee, that's the decision maker.
It
so
is.
So if there's two siblings and one is a trustee.
You can have both as trustees.
And one. Okay, so what you're saying is that if you set it up a certain way and then they actually don't agree upon something, I would imagine that setting up a trust and having one trustee is valuable to keep people from arguing over issues.
But just in case, you know, a lot of parents feel like they want their children to feel equally loved. They want to go knowing that their children never have any hostilities towards each other. And sometimes, if you pick one trustee, one child is a trustee over the other.
Favoritism,
correct.
They're trying to prove they loved them equally, even though in theory, in practice, they really didn't. But they're trying to prove it.
Exactly. So what do? Well, you can give them that feeling. But you have a third person as a referee to break that deadlock to make sure that things are moving. And that's the thing. The trust document does not need to be rigid. And unfortunately, a lot of people try to go out there on LegalZoom and try to find all these places to get it cheaper and do it themselves, but they don't understand that there's so much complexity to it. And every person is different. This is not a cookie cutter type document. This is a document that fits everyone differently and it's customized based on your needs.
Do you do probate also?
Correct. Yes, I do probate as well.
Okay, so you're on both sides of the fence.
Absolutely.
Right? So if you don't have a trust, then you've got what the state put in place, which is probate.
It is.
And if you don't, what do? They call you and say, we've got a case for you? How do you get assigned something like that?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, a lot of people don't think about what's going to happen. That advanced planning is not put into place. And what takes place is a parent dies and the children want to sell the home. And they go to the recorder's office with the deed and they say, well, I'm his child. I want to sell the home. The recorder's office clerk will just laugh at you and say, this is not in a trust. Your name's not on this. It's going through probate court. And just like that, the person, the child, tries to fight it and realizes very quickly that probate is extremely complex and needs an attorney. And guess what? According to California statutory law, an attorney that defends the estate is entitled to take 4% of the first 100,000 of the estate, 3% of the next 100,000, and 2% of the next 800,000, and 1% of the next 9 million. And guess what? A personal representative also has to come in and has to be appointed, and they take double that. And that's statutory California law. So if you don't have the money to pay those attorney's fees and that personal representative, what's the child going to do? Well, it's unbelievable. If he can't do anything, then a judge decides to order a probate sale. And that family home is gone just like that. Could have all been avoided if they created a living trust, if the parents thought about it beforehand and provided for their children correctly.
Had they done some advanced planning.
That's all that needs to be done.
Well, if someone has a property and there's a mortgage payment due on it and it happens that the parents pass away and no one's – it's in essentially going into probate – who makes the payment? Where does the money come from?
That's where it gets really complicated. I mean, I had a case where a man passed away. He didn't have any children. He wasn't even married. And when he passed away, he had this estate. And the closest relative was his sister who was really old. And she didn't even understand, you know, that she was actually Middle Eastern. She didn't even understand the legal ramifications. Well, the nephew luckily just started putting up front out of his pocket those mortgage payments because he knew that there was a possibility that one day, years later, they may collect something. Took years. But if he didn't take that money out of his pocket and put it in to cover the cost, what would have happened? That house would have been in foreclosure. That's it.
Sure.
Done deal. Yeah. So that family house is gone. And if the economy is not doing so well at the time and those properties are not worth as much as they could be years later, you've lost a chunk.
If you're just tuning in, we're on the air with Jacqueline Isaac, an estate planning attorney. Her website is jacquelineisaac.com. You can reach her directly by calling 619-333-8409. That's the number to reach Jacqueline. She's right here in Carmel Valley. How long have you been doing this?
Well, our firm has been around for over 30 years. Our law firm is called Stevens and Isaac. We have three offices in downtown San Diego, Del Mar, and also in Los Angeles. So we've been around for a while.
So I've been to your site, and obviously we can tell what you're doing. You're doing financial estate planning, and that is what you do for a living, but your passion is in volunteering. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. Well, when I was born and raised here in the United States, and when I was 13, I moved to Egypt, which was a little shocking at the time. And I quickly saw what women were going through and what children were going through and what the minorities, the religious minorities, Christians, were going through in Egypt. And it broke my heart. And I decided as an American Egyptian, I was bestowed with this freedom, this right to be born in America. And now that I saw my sisters, literally my sisters and brothers out there in Egypt, not having so many rights, I felt like I had an obligation to give back. And so I quickly came back here, went to law school, became a lawyer, wanted to do the human rights work in the Middle East. But then I realized that there was a right here that many of us needed to really grasp onto. And that was the right to protect your assets, to protect your families in the future. And in the Middle East, in one moment, you may have a home, you may have a business, and it could be taken away just like that. But in the United States, we have rights, and we can protect ourselves. So why not grasp onto it? And so what I did is I integrated my human rights passion, my passion for Middle Eastern people, and my passion for estate planning. And what I do is I always teach, especially for immigrants that come out from the Middle East, from Latin America, so on. They don't know. They don't know the rules. They think that a will is enough, for example. And they come in, they have no idea. They're lost. And I feel like as a humanitarian side of what I do, I want to enable that immigrant when he or she comes in. I want to enable the foreigner to say, you're in this country, and boy, does it have opportunities. But grasp on to it and really, really do what you're supposed to do. You came here to protect your children, give them a future. This is how you do it. It's amazing how things work. You know, you take a little bit of every experience you've had, a piece of your history, and you integrate it to what you're doing today. So I've been very blessed and fortunate.
And the more you're in survival mode, the harder it is to think into the future.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, people come in here with absolutely nothing, and then they build, but they're running to survive, and they've built so much, and they don't realize if something were to happen.
So there's a bunch of real estate agents out there and investors out there that prey on this probate sale.
Mm-hmm.
In fact,
absolutely,
one of the things that they tout is the fact that there's always supply, right? Because people aren't actually preventatively protecting their assets through a trust.
Mm-hmm.
And these properties show up and the judge orders them to go to sale. And, you know, if they're in the courthouse, they can actually bid on them. And whether it's flipping or whether it's, you know, they're taking advantage of the situation based on the law.
Preying on the less fortunate.
Well, the people that haven't actually prepared.
Haven't taken the time. The unprepared mm-hmm. haven't taken the time to go out and review and get a trust in place so it does end up going to probate is truly unfortunate. We're going to hear a little bit more about that, the top five major myths and misconceptions to trust, as well as some examples. I like this one. In selling, your expertise becomes your enemy. We've got a list of 12 of lessons learned here. I'm sure there's many more. We're going to hear about those and more ahead of us. We come back.
If your service is 5 stars, your escrow partner should be too. 5-Star Escrow, getting your transactions closed and getting you paid. 5starescrow.com. 5starescrow.com. January 1st, health insurance is changing for all of us. So how is your insurance going to change? Will you be forced to buy a new policy or change your existing one? What are your options? Craig Gusson with Auerbach & Gusson is a certified health reform specialist who can help answer these questions today at no cost to you. Just call 858-546-4101. That's 858-546-4101 to learn everything you need to know about health reform. 858-546-4101.
Right now at the Home Depot, select special order doors, windows, and accessories are 15% off. So, let's welcome home some energy savings. Let's bump security up a notch. Let's improve views. Say adios to worn-out windows. And then, let's get cozy. Let's do this. Select special order doors, windows, and accessories, now 15% off. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through October 2nd, U.S. only. See store for details.
You know, Greeny, in business, travel just like football, you sometimes have to call a hotel audible.
Oh, I hate it when that happens.
Who doesn't? But it's also when La Quinta Inns and Suites can really save the day with LQ Instant Hold.
Yeah, it lets you instantly hold a hotel room on your smartphone with just your phone number.
All without having to grab your credit card.
That's because LQ Instant Hold is one more way La Quinta takes care of you, so you can take care of business.
So when you're on the road and the game plans change,
all you have to do is call an audible.
Instant hold your next stay on your smartphone at LQ.com.
This is John Feinstein, and this is a CBS Sports Minute brought to you by Quicken Loans, engineered to amaze. Question: are the New York Yankees turning into the New York Mets? For only the second time in 19 years, the Yankees will not appear in postseason this fall. By next spring, three of the core four that led the team to 5 World Series titles will be retired. And now the team can't even pull off Mariano Rivera bobblehead night. According to the Yankees, a broken-down train and a broken-down truck caused the Rivera bobbleheads to arrive late at Yankee Stadium on Tuesday. Because of the delay, fans were kept waiting outside the stadium, then allowed in and given vouchers to pick them up later. When they finally showed up, there were long lines, near hysterics, and fights. There was one difference. If it had been a Mets bobblehead, it would have arrived just in time to go on the bobblehead disabled list. I'm John Feinstein.
Jay Farner here with Quicken Loans. Here are two simple words that should make you reconsider waiting to buy a home. Buying power. Let's say you can afford a monthly mortgage payment, including principal and interest, of around $1,350. With today's rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage of 4.5%, APR 4.53%, that payment could support a $265,000 mortgage. But if you wait and rates tick up to around 6%, that same $1,350 mortgage payment, including principal and interest, may only be able to support a $215,000 mortgage. That's $50,000 worth of home that you're missing out on by waiting. That's buying power. And for 3 years in a row now, J.D. Power & Associates has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Give Quicken Loans a call today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com and maximize your buying power.
For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com. Payment example excludes taxes and insurance. Calls for cost information. Equal housing lender license in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Thank you.
Thursday. Welcome back. ESPN 1700 AM. It's the Real Estate Radio Hour with your host,
Big Mac David McKelvin,
and myself, Ryan White. We just heard from Jacqueline Isaac. Her website, JacquelineIsaac.com. That's the website, JacquelineIsaac.com. And later on the show, she's going to go over her top five major myths and misconceptions about trust, and maybe a little bit on how to avoid probate. I mean, that's really one of the big aspects of what you're doing over there. So, Mike, we talked a little bit about leading without authority. You've got 12 points on here. I'm sure there are many, many more. But the one that I think we should talk about first is your expertise becomes your worst enemy. And that's also counterintuitive. One would think the guy who knows the most about the product is going to do the best. What's going on with that?
Well, as I mentioned in the first segment, that Xerox hired a behavioral researcher in 1978 and 79 to study the top 20%, because since they sell intuitively, can a behavioral researcher observe enough of them and find enough commonality in their behavior that we can codify what the top 20% do and teach it to the bottom 80%?
Sure.
That's been the holy grail of sales productivity.
Kind of like the millionaire next door, where they looked at the millionaires and figured out what they were
doing. Yeah, what did they do?
How do
so let's emulate the very talented. And in his research, Xerox was a very structured company back then, and they would get, because of the company name, they could recruit the top 10% of the top 10% colleges, and they'd bring these new batches of salespeople in. Probably six times a year, they'd bring in another new batch of new recruits, and they'd put them through 6 weeks of training, kick them out of the nest, and say, go sell for Xerox. And Neil Rackham tracked their performance, and they would steadily get better every month for the first 18 months, and then they'd peak and start, and their performance would drop dramatically, shortly followed by their morale. And you could set your watch by this. Every new batch of kids would come in, get better and better and better, 18 months peak and crash. And finally, Neil Rackham figured out that was in that case, in that sales force, it took those new hires 18 months to become experts. It took them 18 months to become experts at every combination and permutation of customer problem out there that their Xerox product set would line up with. And so on the first day of the 19th month, a prospect would get, you know, a few sentences out about his problem, and the salesperson would immediately know exactly what they need and tell them, oh, we've seen this problem 100 times. Here's what you need. You need one of these, one of these, one of these. And human beings hate being told what they need by other human beings. And when I train salespeople, they're a little skeptical when they first hear this. And so I say, all right, on your next break, go call your spouse or your partner and give that person two or three you need tos on the phone in 30 to 60 seconds and see how they take it.
Are you responsible for a few divorces? Is that what you're really leading down to?
I am. Yeah. But the point is, if the person who in theory loves you more than anybody else in the world won't take it when you say you need to, why would your customer or your prospect?
From a stranger, yeah.
From a stranger. And luckily, when I was a 28-year-old salesperson, I had the intuitive good sense, since I was calling on 40 to 50-year-olds, to not tell them what they need. And even though I knew what they needed, I was just, I think, differential just because of the age gap. And so once I said, I'm from Xerox and I'd like to meet your materials manager, and the materials manager come out, I'd say, can I share with you a story about another materials manager I'm working with? And they always said yes, because human beings really cannot resist a story. When a human being anticipates a story, they actually, the critical left brain shuts down, the right brain opens up, and they go, oh, a story. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to make a decision. I can just sit back and enjoy it.
Entertain me.
Yet, there's also something in the back of their mind that says, oh, but this might be important information that I'll need to remember, so I should pay attention. Because for the last 190,000 years, two-legged creatures have been communicating orally, even though most of that time there was no written language. And during that period of time, story was used to transfer tribal information and to motivate people to do the things that needed to be done. And so story is hugely powerful. And so I was able to get this 45-year-old materials manager who was an engineer. I was a business major and I was 28 years old. Instead of telling him what I knew he needed, I told him the story of another materials manager who went through a discovery process and had some struggle and finally had his aha moment and realized that Xerox had a new technology that would help him manage his shortages. And after 90 seconds of that, I'd say, enough about me, tell me about you. And that I had built enough trust in those first 2 minutes that they now opened up and told me everything about their problem.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking with Mike Bosworth. His website, MikeBosworthLeadership.com. That's the website, MikeBosworthLeadership.com. He's going over 40 years worth of selling lessons learned, some of which is in his book, What Great Salespeople Do, and some of which will be in the new book. It is anticipated yet to come out,
yes.
But it's there. It's in him, he says.
So I think what you're leading down to, Mike, is that you want to tell stories in your sales process.
Well, the stories are the first part. In 2008, I realized that we hadn't cracked the code yet.
Before we get too far along with that, I mean, let's just say that you've identified that you want to tell a story. If someone starts telling me a story and it's not in any way relevant to me, I'm going to tune out.
Right.
But how do you identify quickly as a salesperson on your feet what story to tell a person?
Well, if I'm working for a company that understands the power of story, that means that the marketing department of that company is providing the salespeople with who we've helped stories by buyer persona. Whoever the targeted buying people are in our universe for whatever we sell.
Your support.
There's predictable support. Conversations for any sales job.
And not only that, in his workshops, which I've been to, he teaches you how to weave a relevant story.
Oh, yeah.
What is important to have in your story, how to have a couple in your stories in your arsenal to overcome the objection or perhaps the pros of the product so you're prepared with one when you show up, arming you with stories, essentially.
It's called advanced planning. Same thing that Jacqueline is telling. Advanced planning. If you think about it in advance, it's very predictable what a salesperson is going to need in order to lead a buyer to a happy buying decision.
Well, let's talk about one more here real quick before we go to commercial. People make emotional decisions for logical reasons. I remember talking about that in your workshop. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, I got into brain science in 2008, and brain science is very complex, but when it comes to selling, we make it simpler. We talk only about three aspects of the brain, our survival or our lizard brain, our limbic or our emotional brain, and then our human brain, which has a left and a right side. And the survival brain is the dumbest but the strongest.
Okay.
Okay. Hold your nose or have somebody else hold your nose and keep you from breathing, and pretty much nothing else will be on your mind other than that.
Okay.
All right. The emotional brain, the limbic brain, that's where we want to do things. That's where we like people and trust people and need things and want things. And human beings do what they want. But most human beings are accountable to other human beings, whether it's parents or spouses or teachers or peers or whatever. And so we decide what we want to do, and then we use our human brain with the left and right side to come up with enough logic to defend to other people why we did what we did is a sane decision. We don't want to feel like other people deem us insane.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking with Mike Bosworth. His website, Mike Bosworth Leadership. That's the website, MikeBosworthLeadership.com. And his new book, What Great Salespeople Do. Mike Bosworth does have leadership and sales workshops he puts on. I've been to one. We're talking about the 40 years worth of selling lessons learned. We talked about one or two topics. There's more on the website and more in his book. Again, What Great Salespeople Do. When we come back, we'll talk with Jacqueline Isaac and talk about some of the major myths and misconceptions about trust ahead of us when we come back.
Hi, Mr. Credit here. I can't tell you how excited I am to have Bruce McPherson with Security One Lending as a regular guest on the show and my go-to guy for reverse mortgages. Listen, if you're 62 years or older and you own a home, whether you have a mortgage or not, chances are you can benefit from one of today's HECM reverse mortgage options. Just call Bruce McPherson at 866-223-7174. That's 866-223-7174. You can just email reversemortgagebruce@gmail.com. Over the past 9 years, Bruce has really earned his reputation as an honest, ethical reverse mortgage advisor, and he's someone I genuinely trust, and you can too. Don't let old myths about reverse mortgages keep you from calling to get the facts. Today's government-insured HECM reverse mortgages are incredibly flexible, whether you need money now or just want to be prepared for the future. Call your local expert, Bruce McPherson, today and get all the answers you need for free. 866-223-7174. That's 866-223-7174, or just email reversemortgagebruce@gmail.com. Five Star Escrow, the service you deserve when you need it most at closing. Five Star Escrow, fast, friendly, and accurate. Why would you settle for less? FiveStarEscrow.com. That's FiveStarEscrow.com. Have you been selected for an audit by the IRS? Do you owe the IRS money and want to find a way to settle your account as quickly and easily as possible? Hi, Mr. Credit here. Listen, I had the IRS come knocking on my door over $600, which I didn't even owe them as it turns out. I know how scary this stuff can be. The good news is I know exactly what to do. My tax attorney, Jeffrey Kahn, is board certified and works only on tax-related issues. He understands how the IRS works and how to make the most of each situation. And get this, mention Mr. Credit when you call and get a free consultation and a tax resolution plan, $500 value, absolutely free. Call Jeffrey Kahn today at 866-494-6829. That's 866-494-6829 today and get these tax issues behind you as quickly as possible. 866-494-6829. That's 866-494-6829.
Hey, Mike Golic here, reminding you, if it's game day and you're not manning a grill of sizzling meat, spatula in one hand, a cold drink in the other, you're doing it all wrong. Visit grilling.com/ESPN in Kingsford. We'll show you game day done right. You could even be named Kingsford's Tailgater of the Year. Get four tickets to any game during championship week and win a life-size statue of yourself. That's Kingsford Charcoal, keeper of the hashtag tailgate rules and the official smell of football season.
Prices are falling fast at Rent-A-Center. It's the Rack Roll Down. We've rolled down prices throughout the store to their lowest levels ever. Shop our new lower prices on your favorite brands. Everyone's pre-approved for 90 days same as cash or flexible weekly or monthly payments with no credit needed. Hurry in and save like never before with new lower prices at Rent-A-Center. See store for details. Pre-approval means no credit check or credit required. Rental purchase transaction, 90 days same as cash, not valid in Vermont.
Para resultados y más información acerca de este programa, consultar la página espnradio1700.com.
Welcome back, ESPN, 1700 AM, Real Estate Radio with your host,
Big Mac David McKelvin,
and myself, Ryan White. We just heard from Mike Bosworth, his website, Mike Bosworth Leadership. One more time, MikeBosworthLeadership.com. Talked about his lessons learned, only two of them, but there's more in his book, What Great Salespeople Do. You can go to the website to get more information about that. Now, five major myths and misconceptions. Jacqueline Isaac and her website, JacquelineIsaac.com. Now, perhaps we should spell that.
J-A. Ryan, you don't know how to spell my name?
Well, I have it written down here. I have it written. It's I'm okay. Pretty confident I can get it right.
Just think of Jacqueline Kennedy. So it's JacquelineIsaac.com. Now, Ryan, next show I'm going to ask you. It's going to be a pop quiz.
Well, I'll have it written down then, too. I can assure you of that.
You still get it wrong.
Yeah, I'll probably get it wrong.
And guess what, Ryan? I have a story for you.
Okay, go for it.
I've learned so much today. So here's a little story, and it comes with a myth. Many people think that trusts protect your assets from creditors or bankruptcies and so on. But they don't realize that a regular trust just doesn't do that. A revocable trust protects your assets from probate. It protects your assets from the lack of advanced planning so that your families don't have to actually deal with those conflicts that can arise. But a simple revocable trust just doesn't cut it for protecting your assets. However, here's a story about a man who created a trust on LegalZoom. Mm. And when he created this trust, all he said is, I'm going to give my three children in equal shares everything I own. The man owned a lot of assets. When he passed away, his children came to our office. And they said, we're ready for a distribution. How do we do this? Unfortunately, one child was going through a creditor judgment. The other child was going through a bankruptcy. And the third child was going through a divorce. Horrible. Because a simple revocable living trust that he did on LegalZoom just didn't provide for the fact that his children didn't know how to handle money. And guess what happened? All the money got wiped out. Ryan, completely got wiped out.
They lost it all.
Everything. Everything was gone. So everything that that father worked hard to give to his children to hand down was gone. Why? Because he did a simple trust, a cookie cutter plan, without thinking of the what if situation. So at Stevens and Isaac a few years back, we came up with a plan. We created something called protective inheritance trust provisions. And what we did is we said, nobody knows what's going to happen when you pass away. No one knows what your children are going to be going through. So just in case, let's make their inheritance on a condition that they don't get everything outright and free of trust if they're going through a bankruptcy or a creditor judgment or divorce. Instead, it's going to be saved for them, Ryan, in a pot that says, okay, until your judgment's cleared, until you're done with your big issue, we're going to keep it safe for you. Meanwhile, the trustee can use the money for the maintenance, health, and support of that beneficiary until the problem is cleared. And what you do there is you save your parents' money. So before you think about just shutting off this radio show, think about the situation. A lot of people will have a trust and they think, okay, I don't need to hear this anymore because I already have a trust. Well, what does your trust look like? What does it have? Does it provide for the what-if situations? If you have life insurance, if you have an IRA, how much are we talking about? Depending on how much is in there, you may want to keep it in a trust. And if it's in a trust, does it have the qualifying language? Otherwise, the IRS will come after the IRA. So as you can see, there are so many ramifications. We're just creating that cookie cutter simple trust. Talk to an attorney. What we give at Stevens and Isaac is a 1 hour complimentary consultation just to talk to you, see what's going on in your life. And from there, you may be doing it right. But if you're not, we can help guide you to see what you need.
If you're just tuning in, we are on the line with Jacqueline Isaac, estate planning attorney at jacquelineisaac.com. Your company's been in business over 30 years. You're offering a 1 hour complimentary consultation.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
And, you know, we talked a little bit about this inheritance, this difference between wills and trust. And now we're specifically talking about a trust and some of the other things you can do with your trust.
Correct.
So if somebody has a trust and they're going to receive an inheritance and they're married, the inheritance is not community property.
No, it's not. It's separate property. But you can turn it into community property just by negligence.
If you commingle it.
Correct. Correct. So a lot of people don't know. They get this money and they put it in their joint account with their husband or wife. And guess what? It turns in. It's converted into community property. But what we do with our trusts is some children, you don't know what kind of marriage they're going to get into. You have no clue. So if your child's still not married yet, you don't know who their spouse is going to be. It may be a good idea to put a condition in that trust that says, my child can only get their inheritance if they first put that money into a sole and separate property trust. So what you're doing right there is you're protecting your children, again, from the what-if situation, and you're maintaining the separate property character.
Okay, so let me get this straight. If you receive an inheritance and you're married, that money that you received is your sole
and separate
inheritance. That
correct.
Is your sole and separate
correct.
Property. If you then don't have somebody advising you properly and you mistakenly commingle that, ba-bing, it becomes community property,
yes.
and therefore the spouse, whether or not you're main married or not, has legal rights to that inheritance.
50% of what your parents worked hard for. It's just not fair. And so if you're thinking about doing a trust, those are some of the considerations you need to take into account. Also, if you have minor children or you have a child with a disability or a beneficiary with a disability, be careful. Because if you're trying to give them money, government benefits will be cut off once that money comes in. You need to create a very special trust if you're trying to give a beneficiary with a disability some type of inheritance. Or otherwise, you'll be harming them instead of helping them.
We're talking to Jacqueline Isaac. Her website, jacquelineisaac.com. She's an estate planning attorney, has a lot of solutions for the what-if scenario that we might all be thinking of.
Thank you.
Jacqueline, certainly thank you for joining us. Also, Mike Bosworth, his website, mikebosworthleadership.com. One more time, the website, mikebosworthleadership.com. His book, What Great Salespeople Do, encapsulates, 40 years worth of lessons learned in selling. And also the new one coming out will be the additional adjunct to that as well. Both, thank you for joining us. Until next week, we'll be back. It's Tim Strumble with Sports Court coming up next.